Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
In the day that we live in, there's obviously trouble and there's chaos everywhere, and folks struggle with how to deal with it. And sometimes we might think that it's simple as going to God and just giving it up. But there's a truth behind that I feel like we need to share today. And I want to share it as best we can. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Had to give this message a week or so ago and feel led, because the need is great, to do this again here. So we'll desire your prayers. 1 Peter chapter number 5, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Pray we'll give heed to the word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Father, take your word, and as we open our heart to it, apply it to our lives. But also, we pray your word be open to our heart, that by your Holy Spirit you might touch us in a way that encourages our soul and strengthens us with truth, that we might approach this darkness we're in with a confidence that light will always win. We pray it earnestly as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll do our best today to keep this as short as possible. But my agenda today is not to be brief nor long. My agenda is to share with you the truth. We take, I believe, in error often the word in verse number 7 where it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We do that without having done verse number 6. If you'll notice the structure of the verse, there is a colon after verse number 6, meaning that verse number 7 is directly linked to 6. We want to tell people in a time like this that all you got to do is cast your care upon God. But unlike the rest of the world, we have a confidence that the Word of God says what it means, and it means what it says. How many of us, before we cast our care upon God, first humble ourselves under His mighty hand? Now, I'll challenge you today that the hardest thing you'll ever do is humble yourself. Right? Being fully absent of pride, I think, would be non-existent in the flesh. But there ought to be a desire in our heart to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, for Bible-believing people, we certainly have a great deal of resources to go to, and we can read about some of those phenomenal things, extraordinary things, and know that God is truly great in every way. Beyond my comprehension, you see, I simply cannot explain to you how great God is. I try with words, and yet words seemingly, they're just not enough to tell you what God has done. As I think about God who spoke into existence from nothing, everything that we see, it is so beyond what I can comprehend that it's hard truly to explain. And yet I also believe that with his hand, that he knelt down and in the sand he formed man out of the dust of the earth. He took that very form he created and his own image, and he breathed into it the breath of life. What an extraordinary miracle. Now I'm talking about my God, the one who can do all things, the one that spoke and light was, and the earth was, and everything in it was. All of these things are the handiwork of my God. And as He created the heavens and then created the stars and flung them into their place and named them all and knows them, I wonder how many of us today really know who the mighty God is that we serve. We read about what He's done. We read about how He parted the seas and they walked across on dry ground. We read about the God who destroyed it all in a flood and saved 8 souls in the ark. We read about a God who brought Daniel through a den of lions and who brought his friends through a fiery furnace. We read about a God that can do anything. Even the psalmist said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" A simple question to you today: what is it that God can't do? And yet we find the Apostle Peter writing to a church that was in a terrible difficulty. He was writing during the time of the madman Nero, the wicked king who for sport would take Christian people and tie them to poles and pour pitch on them and light them on fire to light the streets of Rome. He did that as sport. He would gather up men and women and little children and then usher them into an arena and turn lions loose to fire the crowd up while the lions would destroy all the little babies, the men and the women, and the crowd would cheer and rage and their hype. And all of these things he wrote to them and he said to them, "Cast your care upon God." I don't know about you, but they probably had it worse than we do. Would you agree? Their persecution was greater than ours is. Even the writer in the New Testament said, "We've not yet resisted unto blood." They did. They did. Because they were Christians and were willing to name the name of Christ and refused to reject Jesus Christ as their Savior or to deny that they knew Him is the only reason that they suffered. And as they were persecuted in such horrific ways, the Apostle Peter writes them a letter and he says to them, "I know you're worried. I know you struggle. I know you have hard things that are coming. I know you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, whether you're going to live or whether you're going to die. But he said, cast all your care upon God because He cares for you." But before he would say this truth, right? This is the heart of what I want you to leave with today, is he said, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." You will never be able to fully take your load and give it to Jesus until you have humbled yourself and recognized that He is the only one able to take it. You will not lay upon He who can bear your burden, the burden, until you recognize who He is. The problem is we have such a dim view of God, such a small view of Christ. We forget that He's the creator of the world. We forget that the world sits in the palm of His hand. We forget that it is God who holds our very breath and who controls the very universe we live in. It is God who has all power. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then we'll be able to cast our care upon Him. We live in a time, I've never seen people so scared. And we can go around as Christians and say, "Oh, I'm not worried," or "I'm not concerned." And truth is, you may be. And that's great. And to some extent, I told somebody this week, I said, "I'm not concerned ultimately about any of that. My greater concern is that there are so many people that are living in darkness and cannot see Christ at all. And they will perish without God, without hope in this world until they turn to Jesus." That's disturbing. That there is so much hate in this world is not a new concept. It has been here since Adam and Eve fell in the garden. There has been strife. There has been murder. There has been deceit. There has been hatred. All of these things have existed. And brother, you have an adversary who goes about as a roaring lion. He wants to destroy you today, I assure you. Do we have struggles? Yes. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It's probably going to get worse. But don't let that discourage you, friend, because you have a God. That's what the world is missing today. Right? Their hatred, their venom is not against Christian people in essence. It's against their God. That's who they hate. And therefore, we'll see this continue. If it's not this, it'll be something else. Right? Peter was writing to a church that was in such turmoil and conflict. Did they deserve sympathy or empathy or help? Yes, they did. And what he said to them was, is humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. You know what Peter didn't say? He didn't say it's just going to be all right. No, Peter said, he didn't say to him, you're not going to struggle. He didn't say to him, no, you won't be ate by lions or you won't die on a pole with fire at your feet. He didn't say any of that. What he said was, is if you'll humble yourself before the one who can do all things, here's what I assure you, you can cast your fear upon him. You will never give up the pride of your own life until you humble yourself and recognize that he can bear it. He can do it. Conceptually, intellectually, we understand that we are very limited in our ability. I have simply very little confidence in what I personally can do. But I want you to know that my God can do anything. Amen. Can he not do anything? We believe that. And yet the problem we have with giving our care unto God is because we simply have allowed pride to enter in and we refuse to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. Now let me look at this quickly. When you get under something, you know what it means. You get down. And when I am low and He is high, then I can see. You see, the perspective between me and God is not me looking down. It is me looking up. My God is able to do anything. There is not anything He cannot do. But until I fully see God, I will not fully turn over my own care to Him. I will keep it. And you know why I keep it? If I hold on to the fear, if I hold on to the worry, if I hold on to doubt, all of these things are because my pride says, I can do it. I can figure this out. There is a way. If they do that, if I do this, all of those things are dependent upon man in some way. May I say to you today, the answer has never been man. There is only one answer. Only one can help us. And so the challenge, you see, is for us to humble ourselves. Probably the greatest and most important thing that we'll ever do is to humble ourselves. You see, preacher, I figured repent would be. You'll never repent until you humble. Right? You'll never say, I'm sorry, till you're really sorry. You'll never be sorry till you've been humbled. I found a lot of different ways to humble myself, and that's literally what the scripture is saying, is humble yourself. Now let me be clear, if God needs to humble you, He knows how. Right? God just like that can bring you low to the only thing you can do is look up. But the mandate of scripture is that we humble ourselves. I believe that's a daily process. You know why? Because my flesh, in nature, my flesh is prideful. Right? I don't have to try to be prideful. It's already there. I don't have to try or learn to be selfish. I'm already selfish. I was born selfish. No, there are some things that I need to do. And the number one, I believe, is to humble myself before God. Do we have trouble? Yes. Will there always be trouble in this world? Yes. Will there be times that fear may approach? Fear may actually arrest you. Fear or doubt or worry or concern. All of these things, whether they're financial, they're spiritual, they're emotional. All of these things are concerns. And we're trying to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. How are you going to do that? The only way you'll ever be humble is to make a choice that it's about Him, not me. The most humbling thing that we'll ever experience is to look at Him and not me. Right? If we'll quit looking in the mirror and trying to figure out the resolution based upon our own earthly abilities and look to God who can do all things, if we'll just look to Jesus, we'll find that humility will come fairly quickly. Two things as we close. Number one, one of the best exercises for the child of God is to go often to Calvary. Right? One of the best things that I ever did was to recognize the truth that blood flowed for me. Right? And that I was responsible for the suffering. One of the most important things as a child of God is to recognize that I am the reason He had to die. It's my fault. Right? Oh, the pain that He endured. You get that? I've never been in such pain. The suffering that Jesus Christ went to, He did all that for me. I don't know about you, but that humbles my heart. That Jesus would die in my place. That He would suffer for me. But number two, that's just an, you can do what you want to do, but you better pay attention. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting your care. Casting your care. Let me say this before I move to the last one. The structure of the sentence is so that I believe what Peter wanted them to see was humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and He will exalt you in due time. And then he stops right there with a colon as to emphasize what he's fixing to say will happen next. If we will humble ourselves, truly get a vision of our God, the natural process of what happens next is casting our care on Him. If you ever see Christ, you will automatically just cast your care on Him. Now that term casting, that verb specifically, is not me handing this to Jeb. I'm not going to hand you my nasty. No, that term casting is what a garbage man does. You ever seen him? They grab that sack and up it goes. He wasn't concerned about the sack. Nope. Just had a job to do. And that's what he does all day long. He's just casting it. When I get the right vision, when I can see the one who can do all things, it's just I just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. I don't think it through. Amen. I'm not inventorying my trash, right? I'm not going through my garbage. I'm just tying the knot in her son and throwing it overboard. You will only do that when you can see Him. We naturally will not give up until we have been humbled and see that the one in whom I am just casting can do all things. This will work. So let me give you an example as we close right now. Philippians chapter number 2. If you're Bible readers, you know where I'm headed. Philippians chapter number 2. I just want to read to you what Jesus did for you and me. Now, let me give you the perfect example of humility. And that's what he's asking us to do, is to humble ourselves. The perfect example. Verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God. All right. What he's saying is, He is God. In the form of His Son, Jesus Christ was deity. Holy. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, saying, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Jesus is not less than God. The Holy Spirit is not less than God. They're all three God. I know that's hard. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but, right, boy, that's a big one right there. But made himself of no reputation. Do you remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, was born to a penniless virgin and a carpenter? He was born, Travis, in absolute obscurity. Nobody knew who he was but his parents and some shepherds and some wise men, who made of himself no reputation. I know we're struggling to get this, but oh, if I could paint you the picture. This second, he is on the throne, the right hand of the throne of God Almighty, is in control, has created everything that we know. And the next minute, he is conceived in the womb of a woman that has nothing. Would not be born in a palace with honor, but be born in a manger with the smells of all the animals and creatures around. He would be born without any fanfare. He would be born and nobody would know who he was. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. He made himself of no reputation. As far as we know, the first 30 years of his life were in absolute obscurity. Probably had very little to make or mint or spend. Simply the son of a carpenter. And he took upon him the form of a servant. I'm going to hurry here. And he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. God made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, which meant he had blood, he had flesh, he had pain, right? He would experience death because he made himself in fashion as a man. He became obedient. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To be truly humble, there's your perfect example, right? You'll not find one in Scripture greater than that example. That is the supreme example of humility. King of all kings came down with no reputation. Became a servant. He who should be served became my servant. Became obedient unto even death. He who cannot die became flesh so he might die for you. That's what Jesus did for me. Let me go back. Come and get a song. Let me go back. Do you need to get rid of some weight that you've been carrying? Right? Number one, turn off the TV and open up the book. That'll help you a bunch right there. But number two, the truth is if you really want to get rid of what's bothering you, you're going to have to humble yourself and see God. Under the mighty hand of God, we have the right perspective, right? Because when you're under, you're looking up. And when we see Him high and lifted up, When we begin to know that He can do all things, we begin to read of all the things He has done, all the deliverance that that He's faithful and never fails and cannot fail and cannot lie. When we see our God as He is, suddenly the natural thing to do is just unload it on Him. Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. If there was any question about whether or not Jesus cared, I just went through what He did. He proved His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. Stand as we sing. There's a simple invitation today. You're carrying around a load. And the only reason you're still carrying it is because you actually think you can do something with it. Your flesh says, hold on to it. Your flesh says, Tish don't need to know. Your flesh says, it'd be embarrassing if I just turned it up. No, here's what really can happen. If you'll just humble yourself before God, before you know it, you've already cast it. Because you see, with the right perspective, you see that He can bear it. Only He can bear it. And He cares for me. Would you, if you've got a need of Him today, I encourage you to cast your care on Him. Humble yourself before God. Come to Him.